Now let's continue on. We're here in John the 8th chapter. And what we're going to see is that Jesus was saying the same thing to those who were at the temple. Now these were those who were practicing Jews. They would come to the temple, they would do their works, they would do whatever they had to do. And they thought, because we come to the temple, why? We're God's people. Well, they may have been through Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. But to be God's people with the new covenant is an entirely different matter. So let's see what Jesus said. Let's pick it up here after he told them, come down here to verse 23. Go to verse 23. And he said to them, you are from beneath. Well, now, they didn't countenance to that very well. I am from above. You are of this world. I am not of this world. That is why I say to you that you shall die in your sins. Now, wait a minute. Weren't they there practicing righteousness, supposedly, at the temple? See, because God wants the righteousness within. He wants the conversion within. And you must receive the Holy Spirit to do it. That's the whole message of the gospel of the kingdom of God, the gospel of grace. Now let's see what else Jesus said. Now this is important to understand. For if you do not believe that I am, and they understood what that meant, you shall die in your sins. Well, the Jews were taken back from this. Then they said to him, who are you? And Jesus said to them, the one that I said to you from the beginning. I have many things to say to you and to judge concerning you. And Jesus always judged righteous judgment. He just said that in the chapter before. Judge righteous judgment. Now continuing, but he who sent me is true. And what I have heard from him, these things I speak to the world. But they did not know that he was speaking to them of the Father. Now Jesus came to reveal the Father personally to all of those that he calls. Now this is really something that we need to understand, see? They still didn't get it. We'll see why a little later. Then Jesus said to them, when you have lifted up the Son of Man, then you yourselves shall know that I am, because of all the prophecies that is in the Old Testament that you have, which if you would believe, you would know that I am. And I do nothing of myself, but as the Father taught me, these things I speak. Now, not only is that a tremendous revelation from Jesus Christ to them, but it's also instructive to all of us. Do we do what the Father has inspired and taught? Are we responding to the calling of God the Father, who has personally rescued us from the power of darkness? You see, brethren, it is so fantastic and marvelous that for the kingdom of God to be over us, we're not in it, because flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, as Paul wrote, but we are under the jurisdiction of the kingdom of God because we have the Spirit of the Father and the Spirit of the Son, and we have the Word of God, and we are to do the things that God says. They didn't understand that, see. All right. Now notice verse, they didn't know who he was or who the Father was. But he who sent me is with me. The Father has not left me alone. Now notice this. Because I always do the things that please him, and so can we. Through Christ in us, through the Spirit of God in us, that we love God, We love Jesus Christ. We keep his commandments. We love the brethren. We walk in the ways of God. Now that's pleasing to God. Look at what's happening in the world. Look at the way the world is going. And then God looks down here, and there are his people. That's how God needs to view it, see. Okay? Yes, because I always do the things that please him. Now, we can do that. Here at the Feast of Tabernacles, keeping the Feast of Tabernacles, to love God, to learn of his way, to love the brethren, to fellowship together, that is pleasing to God. And remember this, Jesus said, where two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am in the midst. So brethren, we're important to God, not because of who we are of ourselves, but because of what God is doing in our lives. Now let's continue on. He always speaks those things, always does the things that please him. All right, now verse 30. As he spoke these things, many believed in him. Oh, yes, those are good sounding words. So they believed. Therefore, Jesus gave them a test. Jesus said to the Jews who had believed in him, notice, if there are always conditions, if you continue in my word, you are truly my disciples. And something happens. Because as we grow in grace and knowledge, as we grow in understanding, as we learn more from the Word of God, and the Word of God is layered and layered with so many things in it, that every time we read it, we learn new things from it, even though we have may have read it over dozens and hundreds of times. Notice what he says. If you continue in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Truth of human nature, the truth of repentance, the truth of baptism, the truth of conversion, the truth of the grace of God, the truth of the love of God. You shall know the truth. And living in these last days, we will be wise to understand the Scriptures. Not because of who we are, but because who Jesus Christ is and God the Father is. That is the gospel of the kingdom of God. Now, what did they do? You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Set you free from sin. Set you free from Satan the devil. Set you free from the lies that have just enveloped this whole world. As we spoke of earlier, when Christ returns, he has to break the lock of the deception that Satan has on the world. All right? So they answered him, we are Abraham's seed. Don't you know who we are? And have never been in bondage to anyone. What do you mean by saying you shall become free? Verse 34, Jesus answered them, truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who practices sin is a servant of sin. And the servant does not live in the house forever, but the Son lives forever. Therefore, if the Son shall set you free, you shall truly be free, free from sin, free from the world, free from Satan the devil. And we are to be pillars of light, salt of the earth, all of those things together. Now then, come back here to Matthew, the 7th chapter, and let's read these things again, and let's understand what it says, see? It's not who you are. It's not what you think you may be. It is who you are with God's Spirit in you, with a repentant attitude and yielding to God and growing and overcoming in grace and knowledge, preparing for the kingdom of God. And that's why we're here at the Feast of Tabernacles. All right. Now let's come back here to Matthew 7 again. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but the one who is doing the will of my Father who is in heaven. And that's exactly what he said back there in John the 8th chapter. Many will say to me in that day, because there's a judgment day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? How many have used the name of Jesus just like he prophesied would happen? Many would come in my name saying, I am the Christ, and deceive many. Yes, and notice what else that they did. Okay. Did we not cast out demons through your name, and did we not perform many wonderful works or many works of power through your name? Yes, oh, we did this and we did that, Lord. We were for you. Really? Notice what Jesus will say, because they weren't doing the will of the Father in heaven above. See? And then I will confess to them, I never knew you, depart from me, you who work lawlessness. That's the way it is in the world. And let's hope and pray, brethren, that it's not in our lives and in the churches of God. And how are the churches of God deceived? Incrementally, a little at a time, because they are not diligent in maintaining their relationship with God the Father and Jesus Christ, and they want the things that are pleasing to the flesh rather than doing the things that are pleasing to God. So let's see what Jesus said. Now remember, the will of the Father who's in heaven, you have to be doing it. Now notice what he says, verse 24. So let's carry this forward even more. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and practices them, so it's the will of the Father, and Jesus taught the will of the Father, spoke the will of the Father, always did the things that pleased him. And those are the words that the Father taught him to speak. So, everyone who hears these words of mine and practices them, you live by them. That's why we're going through and surveying the kingdom of God in the book of Matthew. There are a lot of lessons here for us. And we need to stick to the wholesome words of Jesus Christ. Now notice, I will compare him to a wise man who built his house upon the rock. And the rain came down, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, but it did not fall, for it was founded upon the rock. Now that's another way of saying, nothing can be against you. If you yield to God the Father and Jesus Christ, you will overcome, and you will be building the character. You will be building the love of God. You will be practicing the truth and doing the things that please God. But what about those who build on the ground, just on the sand? And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not practice them. Oh, well, he didn't mean that. Oh, well, this is not what the way we understand it. Well, we don't have to follow the things in the Old Testament. Well, we're New Testament Christians. Really? Because if you do not practice them, you'll be compared to a foolish man. So go back and study the Proverbs concerning the wise and the foolish, the diligent and the lazy, etc. Who built his house upon the sand, and the rain came down, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. So they were amazed at his teachings. I guess so. Okay, now, let's look at another comparison here. Let's come to Matthew, the 11th chapter. And then we're going to see something very interesting with this chapter, Matthew 11. Okay, it's talking about John the Baptist. Matthew 11, let's pick it up here, beginning in verse 6. John was in prison before he was beheaded, and he didn't know. John didn't know what was going to happen. John the Baptist did not have a clue that his ministry was going to be short and it was going to be stopped, that he would be thrown in prison, that his head would be presented to the daughter of Herodias on a platter. But he was more righteous than any other man on earth except Christ. So what he did, he sent a couple of disciples to find out, are you really the one we're looking for? Because maybe John expected that his ministry was going to last a whole lot longer. It didn't last very long. Somewhere a little less than a year, or maybe a little more than a year. All right? So here's what Jesus told them, verse 4. Jesus answered and said to them, go and report to John what you hear and see. The blind receive sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the poor are evangelized. And blessed is everyone who shall not be offended in me. Now, I have to give a sermon I gave long, long time ago, so I will have to bring it again. But the title was, would you be offended by Jesus Christ? Now, many of the things that Jesus said offended. And today, people don't like to be offended. You have to use politically correct words. How about using the words of God? Yes, blessed is everyone who shall not be offended in me. And as they were leaving, Jesus said to the multitudes concerning John, what did you go out in the wilderness to see? A reed shaken by the wind? But what did you go out to see? A man clothed in soft garments? Behold, those who wear soft clothing are in kings' houses. But what did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, I tell you, and one more excellent than a prophet. For this is he of whom it is written, behold, I send my messenger before your face, who shall prepare your way before you. Truly I say to you, there is not risen among those born of women anyone greater than John the Baptist, and the one who is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. Now let's see what else Jesus said based upon that. And here's a difficult verse to understand, which many people don't understand. And this is why they think that Jesus did away with the law and the prophets, even though Jesus clearly said in Matthew 5:17, don't think, meaning don't let it enter into your mind, that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I did not come to abolish, but to fulfill. That means bring it to the full. Fulfill the prophecies that apply to his life. Bring the law and commandments of God to the full, to their full, high, spiritual measurement. Now notice verse 12. For from the days of John the Baptist until now. Now notice, the kingdom of heaven is taken with a great struggle. What did Jesus say? Difficult is the way, and the zealous ones lay hold on it. Now here's that difficult scripture. For all the prophets and the law prophesied until John. Hooray! The law and the prophets are done away with. No. No, 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 no. And if you are willing to receive it, he is Elijah who was to come. Then he left them all hanging by saying, the one who has ears to hear, let him hear. Now, how do we understand this? Because people turn to her and say, oh, yeah. It was until John. After John? Jesus was after John? Well, all we have to do is follow Jesus. But remember, if you don't have his words dwelling in you, you don't belong to him. All right? Let's come to Luke 16. Let's see the parallel account here. Okay. Luke 16. Let's pick it up here in verse 13. Luke 16 and verse 13. And then we will see what the Pharisees thought about this. Verse 13, Luke 16. No servant is able to serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and will love the other sooner or later, going to take sides, or he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. And mammon represents money and all the physical things in the world. Now the Pharisees, who also were covetous, heard all these things, and they ridiculed him. And he said to them, "You are those who justify themselves before men, but God knows your hearts. For that which is highly esteemed among men is an abomination before God." Now notice what he said. "The law and the prophets were until John. And from that time the kingdom of God is preached, and everyone zealously strives to enter it." Now then, here's what else he said. "But it is easier for heaven and earth to pass away." Are heaven and earth still here? Yes, indeed. "Than for one tittle of the law to fail." So he's upholding it to a higher standard. The higher standard of the laws of God is that which is preached by the gospel of the kingdom of God. See? Notice it has to do with your heart. Must be conversion, circumcision of the heart. Must be repentance and baptism. That's how circumcision of the heart is applied. It is more binding, not less. And as a matter of fact, in the Bible, we have one appendices comparing the Old Covenant and the New Covenant. And you will see everything is elevated to a higher level, a spiritual level, an obedience from within, not just the letter of the law, without. And that's the message of the kingdom of heaven. All right. Now let's come back here to Matthew, the 13th chapter, because there's a lot here in Matthew 13. As a matter of fact, there are, I think, seven parables about the kingdom of God. And so let's see it. Now, we've understood many of these things in the past, and we'll go over them again so that we can understand that there is an absolute dividing line from God's perspective and also in our lives, between the world and those who are God's, those who have the Spirit of God. Now, he talks about the sower, and the Son of Man is the sower, and the seed is the Word of God. Now, the message goes out, and it has varying effects upon varying people. But God sends it out there, and we all have to choose. And we all have to yield to God. Now, many don't. Oh, many are excited to hear it. Many are excited to know the things that it says. Many are excited to understand that we have the Word of God and to hear it said or read. But do they do it? So let's look at some of these parables in Matthew 13. And it's always good for us to go over these things because it has another impact upon our minds and gives us greater understanding and helps us yield to God even more. So the disciples wanted to know, why did he speak to the multitudes in parables? Verse 11, "And he answered and said to them, because it has been given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven." Now stop and think about this for a minute. Mysteries mean secret. A secret being revealed in the Word of God of the kingdom of heaven. So there are many secrets, and God has revealed some of them to us. But we won't know all of them until we're resurrected and in the kingdom of God. Think on that for a little bit. But what we are to know, it has been given to us to know. But to them it has not been given. Hasn't been given to the world. Why? Now, some may say they're willing to receive it. But when it gets down to the nitty-gritty, they say, oh, those are hard words. So let's see what happens here. Has not been given to them. For whoever has understanding, that is understanding of the will of God, to him more shall be given. That's why we grow in grace and knowledge and understanding. More will be given. Listen, everything we have comes from God, given to us by revelation, by word, by spirit, his spirit within us, by living God's way. And he shall have an abundance. Now, we're going to see that a little later in another application of a parable concerning the kingdom of God. But whoever does not have understanding, even that which he has, shall be taken away from him. Now, we see that operating in the worldly Christianity churches. That which they have is being taken from them. And they're all being set up for the final deception of Satan the devil with a one world religion. For this reason I speak to them in parables, because seeing, they see not. How many people have the Bible, read it, don't understand? Hearing, they hear not. They're not willing to listen to what Jesus says when he said, he who has an ear, let him hear. See? And what Jesus says to all the seven churches, the one who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. See? All of the correction that is given there, all of the blessings that are given there, all of the things that he commends the churches for and condemns the churches for. He who has an ear, let him hear. They're not willing to hear. You know, one of the first things that people come across, and everyone comes across this, and all of the Sunday keepers know it, and that is the Sabbath Sunday controversy. When it comes to the Sabbath, oh, that was for the Jews. Oh, God gave it to set them apart and curse them. Not so. The Sabbath is a delight. The Sabbath is a pleasure. The Sabbath is good. The Sabbath is what God uses to teach us, to give us understanding, to reveal the things concerning the kingdom of God. So they don't hear, neither do they understand. And then they get involved in their worldly pursuits and everything is gone. And in them is fulfilled a prophecy of Isaiah, which says, in hearing you shall hear and no way understand, in seeing you shall see and in no way perceive, for the heart of this people has grown fat. Now let's talk about the heart just a little bit. We are to understand with the heart. We are to love God with all our heart and mind and soul and being. God is the heart knowing God. He has given his spirit to us. See? And their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed. Now listen, this is explaining the choices that they have made. They don't want to listen and they don't want to see. Lest and they should hear with their ears and should understand with their hearts, and I should and should be converted, and I should heal them. Now, the Protestants ought to read that very carefully because they think that they have to go out and convert the world, which they should be doing, but they need to do it God's way and not their way. And they think that if you are not converted, a lot of them think this, in predestination, if you are not converted in this life, you're going to burn in hell forever and ever. Well, remember what Jesus told the Laodiceans, because they were lukewarm. He said, I wish that you were hot or cold. Therefore, be zealous and repent. All right? God is letting them close their eyes and their ears, and he is not calling them to conversion at this time, and he is putting them into the grave for the second resurrection. And think what is going to happen when they're resurrected and they say, oh, well, I saw Jesus. I heard him speak. But I was too busy and didn't have time. I had to go my way. Amazing, won't it? Huh? Yes, that's why the first resurrection is so good. But notice verse 16. But blessed are your eyes because they see, and your ears because they hear. For truly I say to you, many prophets and righteous men have desired to see what you see and have not seen, and to hear what you hear and have not heard. Now, brethren, that's how it is with us. That's why we need to yield to God, use the Spirit of God, always be in an attitude of repentance, changing, growing, overcoming, preparing for the kingdom, preparing for what God has for us, developing the mind of Christ and the character of God. Now then, he explains the parable. Therefore, hear the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the wicked one comes and snatches away that which was sown in his heart. This is the one who was sown by the way. Missed the ground. Isn't that the way it is? Look at it. Satan comes and takes it away, snatches it away. Now, he will let people have some of it if they follow him and keep Sunday and Easter and New Year's and Christmas and Halloween and all this sort of thing. He will let them use the name of Jesus and come to church on Sunday. Isn't that wonderful? We're such nice people. All right. Now, the one who was sown upon the rocky places is the one who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. But because he has no root in himself, he does not endure. For when tribulation and persecution arises because of the word, he is quickly offended. Now, in each case, this also involves choices. Because you choose not to hear, you choose not to see, you choose not to obey. Now notice verse 22, and this is so true today. And the one who is sown among the thorns is the one who hears the word, but the cares of this life and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. So that's why the gospel goes out. Many are called, few are chosen, because few respond to choose God. Now notice what Jesus said. So let's have all of us be in this category. And this is what we need to be doing. But the one who is sown on the good ground, this is the one who hears the word and understands it, who indeed brings forth fruit and produces. Using the word of God, using the Spirit of God, understanding what it is, living by it, all of those things are there. One 100-fold, another 60-fold, another 30-fold. And remember this, the one who is least in the kingdom of God is greater than John the Baptist. That is an amazing thing, isn't it? Yes, indeed. All right. Let's go ahead. This is a natural place to break. So let's go ahead and we'll end the sermon here and we'll pick up tomorrow on the Kingdom of God number 2. For our overseas offices, please check our website, www.cbcg.org.